beyond the mainstream media.
Welcome back to the final hour of Canada Live on Orion Talk Radio. And this show is going really quickly. Kathy is sharing with us some information or research that she's done. And I do invite everyone to make sure you're listening to this chat or listening to the show in some other venue or in the archives, go back to the chat for this day, and all the links are in that chat, and they're all important links. So, Kathy, you were talking about when we went to for break, you were right in the middle of something.
Yeah, I was talking about another member's statement during that House of Commons debate in February 8th, 2013. And again, this fellow was, well, I can't remember his name, but he was an NDP member from Drummond, Francois Choquette or something like that. Anyway, he opened his statements with, "Mr. Speaker, today I would like to speak to Bill C-383, an act to amend the International Boundary Waters Treaty Act and the International River Improvements Act." Look at that, International River. Hello. I will start by saying that the NDP will be supporting this bill, despite all its flaws. But later on, he says, "I would also like to talk about a recent report by the Commissioner of the Environment, Mr. Vaughan. The report was released last week, and I would like to thank Mr. Vaughan again for the excellent work he has done for Canadians. He has done an excellent job as Environment Commissioner. In his report on the environment, he said that the federal government has not done its job when it comes to shale gas. The federal government, the Conservative government, is failing to protect our water because it does not require mandatory disclosure of the chemicals used in the shale gas industry." So, on a related note, near the end of his allotted time for comments, he said, "In fact, the Environment Commissioner said that it is a violation of the Federal Sustainable Development Act, which includes the precautionary principle. The principle goes like this. When you're not sure, when you have doubts, and when there is a risk of threat to health or the environment, you have to take precautions." So, you know, if you remember my talk last time, this is, you know, this totally defies the traditional precautionary measure that says, if in doubt, don't. The precautionary principle says, if in doubt, do. So it's a complete reversal of our traditional and more rational affirmative action on perceived or real threats. Got it?
The precautionary principle is used to move their agenda forward.
Exactly.
And it is only applicable when it helps to move their agenda forward. The precautionary principle has no bearing if it would have negative effects on their agenda.
Of course.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
that's just the
not.
Way it is.
I mean, it's just, you know, logic. But so let's move along here. Fred is putting links. I can see it. I've got the chat room in front of me. I can see he's putting the links up that I'm going to talk about now. I'm going to go through these as fast as I can. The Federal Sustainable Development Act, the link is there. And it says it's an act to require the development and implementation of a federal sustainable development strategy and the development of goals and targets with respect to sustainable development in Canada, and to make consequential amendments to another act. So follow up on that, people. And under interpretation, it says precautionary principle means the principle that where there are threats of serious or irreversible damage, Notice threats. Lack of full scientific certainty shall not be used as a reason for postponing cost-effective measures to prevent environmental degradation, blah, blah. Under the Federal Sustainable Development Strategy preparation, it said, within 2 years after this act comes into force and within every 3-year period after that, the minister shall develop, in accordance with this section, a federal sustainable development strategy based on the precautionary principle. So that takes you to the document called Canada's Federal Sustainable Development Strategy. And I've put Fred's put the link up to that. It's in PDF format. You can also find it in HTML online, okay? And from that PDF on page 15, it says, Canada's environmental policy is guided by the precautionary principle and is reflected in the FSDS as required by the Federal Sustainable Development Act, which states that the Minister of Environment must develop a federal sustainable development strategy based on the precautionary principle. And it goes on, it says, the precautionary principle states that where there are threats of serious or irreversible damage, lack of full scientific certainty shall not be used as a reason for postponing cost-effective measures to prevent environmental degradation. And in brackets, this is nice. It actually says United Nations 1992. In other
words, is that amazing?
It's right in there. That's right in the FSDS document. Look on page 15 of that PDF that Fred just put up there. It goes on. It says, in other words, the absence of complete scientific evidence to take precautions does not mean that precautions should not be taken. And then they add, especially when there is a possibility of irreversible damage, especially when, not necessarily when, okay? So that's important. Read carefully. In delivering on its environmental policies as outlined in the goals and targets in this FSDS, the Government of Canada demonstrates its commitment to this principle. Well, we got a problem there, because if it's demonstrating its commitment to this principle, it can't serve two masters, and it's not going to be able to provide equal commitment to the people. Correct? That's how I see it.
This is the whole thing, and people have to understand it.
Yes.
That is in your face, simple. And
well,
as we've said many times on this show before, okay, people have got to get it through their minds.
Yeah.
That your government is not your government. When they say the Government of Canada, the Government of Canada is a corporation, okay? It is not the government of the people, okay?
Right.
They are doing the bidding of the global corporate, okay,
right,
of which they are, well, they are a player in this game. You vote for your representatives, but they do not represent you, because the old story, as Kathy just related, you cannot serve two masters. It's obvious they're not serving the people of Canada, okay? So they're serving someone else. So when people go to their elected officials looking for help, they're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah,
the best you're going to get is patronized and a pat on the bottom and thanks, we'll look into it. Take care.
It's almost correct, too. Anyway, I just wanted to say one more thing on the precautionary principle, and then we're going to move right along, okay? This is the last thing I want to say about is it, because this thing just gives me the creeps. I am advising people, watch for this trying to sneak through the back door at your local level. And here's why I'm saying it. And I've referred to this sweet little piece of this sweet little publication before, but I'm going to do it again. In section 3.1 that's titled the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development, on page 9 of the PDF in the Canadian publication titled A Municipal Primer on the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development. Fred's put the links up there to it. Keep them, save them, send them to everyone you know. If you want to work at the local level, this is it, folks. This is an excellent one. I don't know if there's an American counterpart. I wouldn't be surprised if there is. On page 9 of that little primer, it says, the principles most relevant to Canadian municipalities include the following. And it gives you a list. Now, looky what's among that list. The precautionary approach shall be widely applied, and lack of full scientific certainty shall not be used as a reason for postponing cost-effective measures to prevent environmental degradation. So, this is in a municipal primer. People, start reading everything that your council passes and improves, and watch for something along those lines to appear, and it's time to start telling them what's what. Okay?
That's you did that perfect as we're just coming into a break. I know. This is going really quick. I know, but some shows it seems like a long time between the breaks. Today it's like bang, 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 bang.
We're getting to the new stuff now right away.
Okay, we'll be right back right after the break with Kathy Hamilton.
Okay.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with 5 other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals, to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more, or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
Imagine a world with natural clouds, clean air, clean water, and natural food. Why in the world are they spraying? If you love your family, if you love your children, if you love our planet, it's time to get involved. In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why has our weather been changing? Are the long white lines in the sky changing our weather? Could there be a monetary and political agenda behind these damaging programs? Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Okay, welcome back. This is one good show we got going here with Kathy Hamilton out of Marmor, Ontario. And you see, Marmor, Ontario is a little village, basically. I think between Belleville and Peterborough somewhere. Never been there. Hope to get there this summer. Maybe we'll have a barbecue down there with the folks. But this goes to show Canadians in general, okay? It doesn't matter how small a place you live in, you're being negatively affected, be it the biggest city or the smallest village, okay? We all have a duty to ourselves, each other, and those who come after us to regain control of our governments and our country. And people like Kathy, I mean, Kathy doesn't have to do this. Right? Kathy has a daughter she looks after. Kathy's a very busy lady. She doesn't have to do this, but she knows she's doing what needs to be done. And the information that she is talking about today and that Fred Q is so nicely putting in the chat room for everyone needs to be disseminated far and freaking wide across this country. And we need more people in the chat. You know, I know it's tough. I understand it's tough. I mean, I have members of my own family don't want to know anything about what we're talking about. But we have to persist. It's the only way we're going to turn this around. So that's my rant. And welcome back, Kathy.
The only thing I'd say back to you, Ron, is yes, I do have to do this. I feel I have to do this because this is my daughter's whole future, you know, and it will be everyone's children's and grandchildren's future. This is our common future that I do not want for my daughter. That's
right. And Our Common Future, the book by Grover Brundtland, okay, which was the precursor to Agenda 21, is based on what? The precautionary principle, and Grover Brundtland was the vice president of Socialist International. So it's very simple to understand what the game is. Our job is to stop them.
It sure is. I mean, yeah. It is the ultimate, the precautionary principle, to my mind, is the ultimate weapon in the hands of a control freak bully, especially if you put it in the hands of a collective control freak bully, because it basically provides them with the power to do anything they want with no ability for rectification, because in advance it eliminates any requirements for due process, scientific evidence, and the first do no harm that backs all of the requirements for providing legal consent under our traditional legal system. It's disgusting. It is
they are using the precautionary principle as a gateway to do all the harm they wish to do. And that's what they're using the precautionary principle for. Take power.
It delivers power to whoever is using it, and whoever is holding the keys to the government collective. That's it. Anyhow, right. On we go to today's topics, because this is the, you know, people are going to get tired of hearing me ranting on about the same thing.
I don't think so, Kathy. People listening are very appreciative of what you're saying.
I was a born blabbermouth, so thank you to Orion and Ron for letting me blab.
You're a hell of a
Okay, so on we go. What I want to talk about, too, is what I see coming to local councils. I think they're going to have some visiting activists lining up at their meetings soon. I noticed in an online media article a few weeks ago, I think it was, an article titled Health First on Official Plans. And as you know, I'm very into the planning, land use planning issue as well. And so this one caught my eye really quickly. And so I think Fred's got the link to that. I don't know if he's put it online or if he can do that right now so that people can grab that and see what I'm talking about. I think Fred's around. Anyway, this appeared on a Belleville radio station's news site. And there are some excerpts in there that I want to talk about. The first little tidbit was a statement that said, municipalities in Hastings and Prince Edward counties will soon be asked to give their official plans a healthier focus. So I kind of read that over and over again, and I thought, that's a seriously weird statement to me, because the 14 lower-tier member municipalities in Hastings County don't even have their own official plans. Like a lot of rural municipalities, they share a central official plan that's developed and under the authority of the upper-tier county or regional municipality. So I don't know.
It's the regional.
Like yours, right?
Well, it's a regionalization,
exactly,
which takes the power from the local people and keeps putting it up into a higher tier where local people can't get at.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it just struck me that it was an awfully strange thing for the health unit to say this, because it made them look really dumb in my mind that they would actually propose this and apparently themselves not even realize that they'd be wasting their time because that's not where the official plans are. So I thought, okay, so they're really making themselves look dumb there, which really is no skin off my back. But it was, I thought, isn't this great? We have people who know nothing deciding what we're going to do again. So the next statement that caught my eye was the local health unit is emphasizing the link between health and the community. So, you know, I read that a few times. I have to read everything because the planner speak just drives me nuts, you know. I'm like, okay, so are they talking about my or your health being linked to that of the community, or is it vice versa? Or does this actually mean the health of the community as a whole is somehow linked to mine at any given time or yours? Or is it that we all as individuals have a duty to be healthy for the greater good of the community? Now, does that sound a little bit familiar to you from, you know, some historical things? Like, you know, I don't know how many people have read it, but remember I said the precautionary principle, according to Wikipedia, its origins lay in Germany in the 1930s in their social legal system?
Right.
So you remember that, you know, you have a duty to be healthy. This is getting really unnerving. You know, so I'm interested in hearing other people's interpretations, and I'd love to hear
the community health. Okay, they come up with your happy quotient now. And basically what it is that you will be the idea of the community health, and this is all UN driven crap, and it's all psychological mumbo jumbo.
Oh, I know.
But basically you need to be part of the community, a healthy part of the community. You have duties to the community, and if you aren't, if you don't submit to this, then you will be simply outed as having a mental problem, which will be dealt with by the health authority to make sure that you live in a happy, or at least you're happy in the community you're living in, happy in the community that has no property rights, no water rights, it's all about looking out for your health. You may become depressed yet. And we're here to help you be happy in your community. That's the message.
Let's zip along here because, you know, I just wanted to throw that out with a few of my immediate thoughts. And I'd love to see people bring this back in the future. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that virtually have directories full of documentation and resources, as I do, because we were tracking way back decades ago when public health promotion became the in thing through Mark Lalonde. And then we watched it transformed into the population health approach in the late 80s, early 90s. So, and then it became the community health. So, I mean, I don't even want to go there because I have folders full of that stuff that we can talk about.
It's a
whole new topic. Okay. But it all ties in. So the next statement in that article that really got me, and I'm just going to breeze through this quick because I see it's 2:30. All right.
After the break, we're going to do some quick breezing.
I can try.
I love having you on, Kathy. We'll be back after the break. Canada Live, Ryan Talk Radio. Stick with us, folks.
Alternative Radio. We are OrionTalkRadio.com.
Do you really want to know the facts about gun control? Fact, the U.S. mainstream corporate media is lying to you about gun violence in America. Let me say that again. They are flat out lying to you to serve an agenda for the powers that own them. The following statistics are from the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, the number one indicator of violent crime in the U.S. Fact, Even with the shootings from Wisconsin, Colorado, and Connecticut, there is no rise in violent crime in the U.S. Fact. Violent crime is at a 40-year low in the U.S. Fact. Violent crime has been dropping in the U.S. for well over 20 years. Fact. Violent crime has dropped for the fifth straight year in a row. Fact. The Second Amendment is about defending ourselves from our own government, should it ever go bad. We need our Second Amendment now more than ever. And at Orion Talk Radio, we're going to fight to keep it.
USA News, I'm Sean Scott Ferguson. Lawyers for the surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect will likely accentuate his youth and mental state in fighting charges expected against him in civilian court, possibly including a death penalty request, legal experts said on Saturday. Jokhar Tsarnaev, 19, was arrested late on Friday after an extensive manhunt and remains hospitalized under guard. Iraqis have voted in a provincial election, the first ballot since the departure of U.S. troops in late 2011, the BBC reports. Iraqi forces took charge of security in an election for the first time since the 2003 invasion. There's been widespread violence in the run-up to the election, and the Shia-led government has postponed the vote in two Sunni-dominated provinces. The United States asked Turkey's leader to delay a Gaza visit so as to not upset U.S. efforts to revive Ankara's ties with Israel and Middle East peace talks, Secretary of State John Kerry said on Sunday. This is IRN USA News.
Ladies, when was the last time you found it easy to lose weight? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance begins. And until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. Thank goodness today we have Ambrin. Ambrin promotes hormonal balance naturally. It's clinically shown to cause weight loss in women over 40 with no big lifestyle changes required.
I thought I was somehow not trying hard enough to lose weight. Turns out it was my hormones. Once I started with Ambrin, the weight fell away. It was so easy, and I feel fantastic.
Ambrin relieves other symptoms of menopause, too, like hot flashes, fatigue, sleeplessness, and many more. The first 50 callers right now can get a complimentary, risk-free trial of Ambrin with a 30-day supply free. Now, free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers now at 1-800-510-3558. That's 1-800-510-3558. 1-800-510-3558.
This is Ryan Brooks. Make sure you check out the Sound of Freedom live, midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern Time, late nights, Tuesday through Saturday, right here on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, it's true. Say he burned a plaque of piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches? Should we blame the fire? For the doctor who allowed it to expire?
Yes, blame Canada. I hated that. I hated that song when it first was put on there. And I've come to really appreciate it since when you do the history of the involvement of our elected officials. Don't blame the Canadian people. Blame the Canadian political.
I've seen articles in the States where they're blaming Canada, and they can rightly do so because, you know, I feel myself, like, a lot of the times that our politicians are assisting very powerful private global interests to bring down the United States. And quite frankly, I have friends in the United States, and I find that very offensive. You know, this is just... I have no idea what's in their heads. All I know is that there seems to be an awful lot of airspace that's being filled with money. You know, it just drives me nuts. But anyway, let's move along here because I see that we're running out of time.
Well, we have time because there's always another week.
Well, yeah, but your listeners.
You know, we could have the show extended to 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, I could fill the whole thing. As you know, I'm a blabbermouth. I will admit it.
No, you're not a blabbermouth. You're a person. You are imparting on us very valuable information. That, my dear, is not a blabbermouth.
Well, Well, you know, my motto, call me anything you want, just don't call me boring. You know, I don't care. I can't tell you how many times I've been called too American. As far as I know, for generations, we have no American blood in our history. We have everything else.
I've been called an American so many times.
I don't know why. Like, because it's freedom,
No, no. But back in the old days, before American became so docile as it is today, people would think that I was American and would ask them why, and they said that I was too outspoken to be a Canadian. But America has become as docile as Canada, so we're all in the same boat now.
Well, yeah, I'm seeing a little.
Anyways, now I'm babbling. On with the show.
All right, I was talking about that article. The next, let's zip through. The next statement that caught my eye was they made a statement. The new policy addresses a number of areas in municipalities, including transportation, access to recreation, and exposure to tobacco and alcohol products. Now, this is the article on Health First on official plans. So, you know, my thoughts on that one was, what is the new policy? How could just one new policy cover so many items? Who developed that new policy? What does exposure to tobacco and alcohol products have to do with official plans? Never mind transportation. And what does your choice or mine regarding your mere exposure to any legally manufactured and sold product have to do with either official plans or transportation? So you see why that one caught my eye? The next one that grabbed me was health unit representatives will be visiting local municipalities to discuss these policies. To which I always thought, well, how did the new policy in the last statement magically multiply itself into these policies before there was any clarification given on the singular variant and with no clarification on its plural format either? So you see how these guys think? They just, you know, again, don't question. So on researching the combination terms of public health and official plans, just I wanted to know if this new taxpayer-funded public health mission creep was widespread or limited to our lucky local counties in eastern Ontario. And I quickly, as usual, I soon found myself being carried away into the wonderland that offers endless opportunities for these omnipotent busybodies that seem to flutter anew at every fashionable cause win, just like their public health banner. You know, they make me crazy. So my first stop inside their public health wonderland, I was dropped straight into this little rabbit hole, and it plunged me right into a darkness that connected public health with land use plans. And honestly, it reminded me of the previous campaign against citizen-owned firearms in Canada that was fought as a public health issue. You know, and I have a whole folder on that, too. Like, really, they can turn anything they want into a public health issue. It's just wild. But that would take us into the World Health Organization's redefinition of health, and that would be another topic, so I'm not going there right now. So the next document that I started studying was one that's titled Public Health and Land Use Planning, and it says how 10 public health units are working to create healthy and sustainable communities. Now, this was document was prepared by a partnership of the Clean Air Partnership, the Government of Ontario, and the Ontario Public Health Association. So there you go. That should just put. Anyway, at the top of that PDF that I think Fred's got the link to. I don't know if he's put it in the chat yet or not. I haven't got time to look because let's keep going. There's a cutesy little image at the top of the first page, and it shows somebody walking and somebody biking and an industrial-scale windmill in the background and what appears to be tall row houses with no visible automobiles or garages but with solar panels on the roof. So, you know, you're looking, oh, yeah, this is smart growth stuff. But here's a few excerpts from the executive summary, and it sort of gets to the real objective, which appears to be nothing much more than political influence gains. And here's what it says. This report examines the ways in which public health units in Ontario are working to influence land use and transportation planning processes. It provides a brief overview of the health and social science evidence, which links health to the built environment as mediated through six factors: physical activity, healthy eating, injuries, air quality, climate change, and water quality. Oh, climate change, eh? And then it says it also includes a brief discussion of the health inequities that are experienced by low-income populations as they relate to the built environment. So there's some fine double speak, new speak, planner speak, whatever you want to call it. I saw that in the chat. But it seems odd that with their alleged concern with low-income populations that have these health inequities, that these guys are simultaneously advocating windmills and solar panels. Like, this presents a stunning level of hypocrisy as more and more people in Ontario are confronting energy poverty from all this renewable energy, doesn't it?
But then that goes back to the UN document of human rights, which is everyone has a right to adequate, which they are moving people towards that guaranteed income they want, which will afford them adequate health care, adequate water, and and that's where they're moving it to, is in these healthy communities. The whole fact of the matter is that the health department here, the police department here, the politicians here, the electrical companies here, are all attached to one tentacle or another, and the body that shoots out all these tentacles is the UN, which was set up by international corporate people. But what you just read is mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of people have this stuff, and they've had it. This is not a new document. I mean, this is coming out to the public. But it's not like a lot of us haven't already been watching this happening for a long, long time. So let's move along here. But I just want to make people aware. Watch this, because it's going to go. It's funny that they never even mentioned climate change in the document's title, but I did a little control plus F search on that two-word term, climate change, and there's no less than, I mean, just quickly counting, no less than 130 occurrences of that term in this PDF. And so, it goes without saying that if adding climate change to the already bizarre title of this document, if that was too much for them, then I guess adding idling reduction campaign would have been definitely out of the question, because here's what else is in this little document. In that same PDF, it says the health hazard team conducted an idling reduction campaign for a year. This campaign included a toolkit with examples of idling reduction bylaws and idling reduction corporate policies that could be adopted by local and regional municipalities. The explicit goal of the campaign is to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases and air pollution associated with idling vehicles. The implicit goal is to make people think about the contribution of vehicles to poor air quality and climate change. So
okay, hold it right there. We're back at the break. We're coming up to our last segment, we're going to have to continue this down the road somewhere.
Oh, this is too bad.
Yeah, okay, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Later.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Sabrina's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have the right to know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cornered the world economy, bringing in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at shadethemotionpicture.com.
Listening to Orion News Talk is even easier to do with your smartphone.
Yo, check it out.
If your cell phone accepts software apps, the absolute best way to listen to your favorite radio station is with TuneIn Radio. Just download the app and then do a search for Orion Talk Radio. Save us as a preset, and you can take us with you wherever you go. At work, the gym, at the store, or on the road. Anywhere you need to go, we'll be with you. Orion News Talk. News and views beyond the mainstream media.
Free Your Mind, too. A conference on consciousness, mind control, and the occult. April 25th through 27th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 3 days, 24 speakers, your mind set free. Free Your Mind, too. April 25th through 27th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For speaker and ticket information, visit freeyourmindconference.com.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly worldwide in discreet packaging and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Okay, welcome back to Canada Live right here on Orion Talk Radio. This is our last segment with Kathy Hamilton today, but not our last segment with Kathy Hamilton. I'm honored to have you on here, girl.
I'm so glad to have a chance to blab because, you know, I mean, this stuff just, it's horrible when you know stuff you can't share. But anyway, let's move as fast as we can. Yeah. I see there was something in the chat about Earth being tomorrow. I'm going to take a quick break from my own chosen topic here and mention that this is kind of funny because Earth Hour, when it was approaching back in March, I gave a little 3-minute public input that we're allowed at our local council meeting about Earth Hour. And again, it was very short. So I talked to them and I gave them some excerpts from the Earth Hour Descent of Canadian Professor Ross McKittrick that really tickled my fancy. And then I shared with them the information that I was pretty sure they wouldn't know, and by their face I don't think they did, that broke in December 2011 on the Boy on a Bike blog. They broke the story that Earth Hour Limited is actually 33% or 33.3% owned by Fairfax Media. And I told them that, you know, I think they can afford to do their own advertising and that our municipal website was, we shouldn't have to pay for that. So a couple of days later, before Earth Hour came up on that weekend, I noticed that the webpage had disappeared from our municipality's website. Now, whether it was because of what I said or not, who knows, but it was nice to see that happen. It really was. I just thought I'd share that little bit with you. Anyway, let's go back to the topic and try and cover the rest of the ground that I can here. That toolkit that was mentioned in that public health and land use planning document, you know, again, they were using this, and we've seen signs of it in our local papers. I think Fred may throw up a link to a local letter to editors called Challenged by Climate Change, Let's Not Idle. I mean, all kinds of nonsense in that one. And but again, this toolkit, interestingly enough, it was provided by an activist group in the USA. And they describe it this way, and Fred's got the link. He may throw that up there, too. Idlebox is a toolkit of print products, templates, presentations, and information resources to assist with idling or idle reduction projects for fleets with light and medium duty vehicles. Well, up here and in my neck of the woods here of Ontario, it's being used to get people in their driveways not to have their vehicles idle. We're way out in the middle of nowhere. It's not like we have a problem with pollution. But in their local letter to the editor, they had the gall to say, Canada has one of the world's worst records for pollution and energy efficiency. Well, what a pile of bull. But, you know, this is the kind of nonsense that we're getting hit with. And, I mean, you know, I would like to say all in favor that's listening today of unsafe winter driving through Canadian winters with your butt frozen to the seat and iced up windows, especially for any kids that after riding a full-size diesel school bus, put your hands up. You know, like how many hands am I counting out there? I bet you there's none. So remind me again, why did Canadians bother mandating catalytic converters on their vehicles, installing scrubbers that work really well on industry smokestacks, etc., when all we had to do was eliminate the automobile so that we couldn't move? Anyhow, what a pile of bull. So this is going to be hitting more local councils. I'm sorry, but I get so annoyed with
this. Well, no, I mean the real estate industry is involved in it with their walk numbers. And yep. If you follow that back, that was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, whose hope is to continue to high-density urbanize to the point where people will not need their own private automobile.
I know, but let's keep moving here because we might actually get through some of the better stuff. I mean, we're just getting to the really juicy stuff here. And this one, I'm really glad I see Big Green Lie because here I have a statement. Thanks to Big Green Lie for the heads up on this one. So if you think that those anti-idling eco-nuts are off their enviro rockers, wait till you hear about this one. Meet Toronto-based environmental group call themselves Our Horizon. Their slogan is, stand on guard for Earth. Got that? So you got to wonder if its founder chose the name for the organization out of some commitment to the concepts that are underpinning our common future. Because they're advocating that local councils mandate warning labels be put on gas nozzles at every gas station in the municipality, just like they do with cigarettes. So, you know, take a look at that website. You got to see it. You know, they have a page, how many kids per liter? You know, how many fractions of a penny at the pump internalizes the reduction in quality of life for a child who has lost hope in her future? Oh, give me a break.
All that is, Kathy, is propaganda to get you to accept high transportation tax on your gasoline.
Yeah,
I know you know,
what
but
that would do for the eco-tourists who want to come to town from like 100 miles away. They're going to walk here. I don't know where these guys' heads are. But anyway, let's keep moving along. So Fred's got the links up there, but people really need to look at this crap. So the other thing that people need to watch for, in my opinion, is watch for the floggers of disruption and sustainable insurance trying to get their foot not only into your municipal council's door, but your door. And there's a webpage I came across. Check out the whole site and its comprehensive articles, topic lists, and archive videos from the plenary sessions. There's a page from the SkolWorldForum.org. They had a forum 2013, and one of the sessions was Disruption. Dare to imagine, design to win. Disruptive innovations can reshape industries, supplant old technologies, and topple political regimes to bring about the scale of change that social entrepreneurs envision. They must think like disruptors. First, understanding the forces that have created and fueled our greatest challenges, and then designing solutions aimed at nothing less than to bring about a more just, sustainable, and prosperous world. Disruption carves a path, one that calls for business, government, and civil society leaders to move beyond incrementalism and to dare dream and design a whole new way forward. For make no mistake about it, our future, the future of humanity and the planet, hangs in the balance. Do we have what it takes to disrupt what is in order to create what can be. Now, you go and look at that, and you'd better start doing some research, people, into what social entrepreneurs are. And I suggest you check about Scotland. They have a leading site there for the social entrepreneur industry. And you will, if you go through the UN documents, you can find the paradigm for what is now called local economic development and social development. And make no mistake, it's not economic one little bit if it's taxpayer subsidized, because if it was, it wouldn't need your money for business. So that one, a must read. For heaven's sake, keep that. Talk about it, because you're going to see the way to move forward is through ongoing constant disruption. This is the Hegelian dialect in action. Look it up. Familiarize yourself with it, because it's everywhere.
Order out of chaos.
Now, I'm going to skip through the last two links here. The other thing you need to watch for coming is this drive for sustainable insurance. Now, again, I have folders of stuff on the insurance industry and their complicity, but there's two risks here. Take a look at the links that Fred's put up. It'll give you some idea of what's coming. And, I mean, we're already, a lot of people, insurance poor. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know,
and that is completely aligned with the banking industry, which I got a bunch of documents on. So maybe we could do another show talking about some of those eco-friendly institutions.
Yeah. And the government, the bank, the insurance companies. You cannot hold a mortgage today without insurance.
No. But now the banks aren't going to lend you money unless they decide what you're buying is sustainable.
Well, but I want those links. Please, people, start reading, because you think this is bad. I mean, don't get so involved in a single issue battle that you miss what's going to hit you when you're not looking.
Look at the big picture.
Look at the big picture. It all ties together.
They're hoping you only look at individual things, and until you see the big picture for what it is, you're a sitting duck.
We need to do a show on communitarianism sometime.
Yes,
well,
we do.
No, but you can only do so much in three hours.
Well, 3 hours here is more time than you're ever going to find on mainstream media to discuss any of this stuff. So, I encourage our listeners to please go out and drag your friends and neighbors over here. We're all doing our best. Everybody's doing their research. We got to get this out more.
Yeah. And I'd like to see everybody doing what I'm doing, and get on Canada Live and share your stuff with me like I'm doing, because this is how we have to educate ourselves. Nobody's going to do it for us. And nobody's going to fix it.
Next time Kathy's on here, we're going to open the phone lines, which I planned on doing today, but we didn't even have enough time to get through what we needed to get through. So, Russ,
I feel bad.
Thank you very much to Kathy for a bright spot in the landscape. Thank you to Fred Q in the chat. Thank you for our listeners and those in the chat. And, willingly, we will be back here next Sunday at noon. So until then, everyone, be good, keep researching, keep talking, and we get our country back. Take care, everybody.
Yep, cheers and chinny up.
Okay.
At Orion News Talk, we know times are bad. Ever since 9/11, a battle has been waging against we the people. Our Constitution is under attack. A clandestine